You're listening to a podcast from Trinity Church Buxton. For more information, please visit our website at trinitybuxton.org.uk.
So we're on page 1154, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you, unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the flute or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and he is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say Amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? You may be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you, but in the church I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. In the law, it is written, through men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. But even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues, then, are a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and some do not understand, or some unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everyone is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you.
And find page 1154, 1 Corinthians 14, page 1154, and let's pray together. We know, our Heavenly Father, that you are among us by your Spirit, and we pray, our Heavenly Father, that we would sit under your word, your authoritative word, and hear you speak to us. Please help us to be mindful of all that we've learnt in 1 Corinthians as we come to this great chapter please help us to sit under your word, to learn from you, and then to respond in the right way as we seek to build up the body, to trust and to love and to serve Christ until he comes again. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine you are in sole charge of planning our Sunday services. And you can have them just how you want them. What would you change? What would you add? Which people would it consider? What would you get rid of? Who would you get rid of? You can have the service just the way you want. Let me get you thinking further. Do we regard this church meeting rather like a petrol filling station? And we've basically come to refill our spiritual tanks. And although there are many others on the forecourt, we don't really want to get involved with them. We just want to drive in, fill up, and then drive out. Or do we treat church just like the cinema? We could have taken what I call the home DVD approach this morning. We could have stayed at home to read the Bible and pray and put on our favourite CD of Christian songs. That way we definitely would have been singing what we like. But instead we've taken the cinema experience, we've come together, but essentially each of us is going to have a private experience, but just kind of bigger and better than staying at home on our own. Now, I'm deliberately provocative to get you thinking right at the start of this great chapter. Of course, all those views make church just an individual thing. So I come to a service, or my growth group, or Ignite, to get my top-up, my Bible input, my spiritual experience, my singing of my favourite songs. In fact, in other words, what I can get out of our meeting together. In fact, our society and our churches are so individualistic that we may have had trouble spotting what was wrong with those ways of thinking about church. We just slip into them so quickly. Even as we arrived, our agenda probably was me. The danger is that we just dream up the perfect church meeting for me and for the people like me. But it would be far from perfect for many others, and therefore far from perfect in God's eyes. In this morning's Bible passage, God says that whenever we meet together, he wants us to do only what builds up others. God wants us to think not about me, but about you. You collectively, you plural, the building up of the whole church, to trust and to love and to serve Jesus. Now, these Corinthians were getting things badly wrong. Indeed, somebody said to me that trying to not make it too heavy, because this is a real rebuke to the Corinthians, these chapters. And they were trying to help me and saying, look, you know, let's try and shape it so it's positive, which I understand totally. In chapter 11, verse 17, Paul tells them that their meetings do more harm than good. Extraordinary. They had virtually made speaking in tongues the acid test of whether somebody had the Holy Spirit or not. In other words, whether you were a real Christian or not. And those who could speak in tongues insisted on doing so in church meetings and in ways that were very unhelpful to others and to the outsider. Now, in chapter 12, Paul is positive about spiritual gifts, and as we were reminded about in our prayers and in what Matt said, that we are one body. At the end of chapter 12, verse 31, you might just flick back to see this. There is that one sentence, he says in verse 31, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. Before he unpacks that statement, I think in chapter 14, he writes about love. Follow the way of love. And the way of love is there described in chapter 13, is so essential for church life. Indeed, I wondered about introducing this week by just reading chapter 13 and again and saying, how's it going? Have you been patient? Have we been patient with each other? We will need to be, and so on. Verse 1 of chapter 14 seems to be a summary of chapters 12 to 14 of this letter and picks up that last verse of chapter 12. Look at it. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Paul sees that certain gifts given by the Holy Spirit build up a church family more than others. Now, in chapter 14, Paul basically focuses on just tongues and prophecy. He does mention other speaking gifts. You can see that in verse 6. But Paul is essentially comparing two gifts, tongues and prophecy. And his argument, I think, is this. Prophecy and other speaking gifts edify or build others up in the church. Tongues, on the other hand, is essentially a gift for personal, private use. All the gifts are given by the Holy Spirit, emphasis of chapter 12. But if you want to be loving in the church meeting, desire those gifts that build up others. Just a few words to define tongues. Tongues or languages, that's literally what it means, are only mentioned in two books of the Bible, here and in Acts. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the believers speak in tongues. And if you remember that great incident, there's a huge crowd of Jews from many different countries. And it's clear that the tongues there refer to real foreign languages. So as the people spoke, different people from all over the Middle East heard in their own language the saving acts of God declared. The gift of tongues here, it seems to me, is not the same as the tongues found in Acts chapter 2. The gift of tongues here in Corinth seems to be praying or praising God in a language unintelligible to the speaker. Look at verse 2. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. So these tongues seem to be a prayer to God in a language that is given by God, the Holy Spirit. I think that is very different from what is happening in Acts. The person praying or praising God in tongues does not understand what they're saying, but they understand that they're praying to God in some way. Verse 9 says that these tongues are unintelligible. this prayer language seems different from normal prayer, which consciously uses the mind and uses normal language. Please remember that no form of prayer is more spiritual than any other. That's the mistake the Corinthians were making. They were elevating this gift as the mark of spirituality. And Paul has taught very clearly against that. And that spiritual one-upmanship was dominating and ruining their meetings. So firstly, as we look further at the text, this, building up others in love is the priority. We've already begun to hear that in what Paul is saying. Building up others in love is the priority. Notice right the way through, not just verses 1 to 5, because actually it comes in verse 17 and in verse 12 as well. This word edify, to build up. So look at verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies, builds up himself, but he who prophesies edifies, builds up the church. Remember that the word edify means to build up. It's a construction idea. Think of new houses being built somewhere in Buxton. There's quite a lot of that going on. And every time you drive past new houses, you see more bricks being added, more stones being added, another floor is finished, whatever it may be. It's a building project that's going on. And Christians are involved in a spiritual building, the Church of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I will build my church. We are living stones that are being added, and we're building one another up to trust and to love and to serve Jesus. And God gives spiritual gifts and works of service for that great task of building the church in its ministry. And Paul says here, if you're committed to love others and seek a spiritual gift to build others up, go for prophecy rather than tongues. The gift of prophecy is more desirable because he who prophesies edifies or builds up the church. And as I mentioned in verse 6, he talks about other, what seem to be speaking gifts, some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction, word of teaching. Paul is not against tongues. Look at verse 5. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather have you prophesy. That does not mean that everyone should speak in tongues, far from it. Think of the context, or has the potential to speak in tongues. It's a bit like me saying to you, as a passionate cricket lover, I wish that you all played cricket. Of course I know that that won't happen. Some of you won't be able to summon up anything like the enthusiasm. Paul says in chapter 12 that the gift of tongues is given only to some people. But rather the argument is, if you do want to seek one gift, seek prophecy, because that, in love, builds others up. Verse 5, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may be edified. So firstly, building up others in love is the priority. Secondly, speak words in love that people understand. Speak words in love that people understand. Verse 6, now brothers, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? So you notice there the emphasis on speaking words in love that people understand. Remember that the contrast here is to the gift of tongues. And Paul uses three illustrations to make this one point clear. And all three illustrations say that if you can't understand something, then it's of no use. Verse 7, even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds such as the flute or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is distinction in the notes? So think of the music group here. We want music that has clear notes and timing. Thank you, everyone, this morning. If all the people played their instruments badly, the sound would be a mess and we couldn't follow. We wouldn't be able to sing. That is like unintelligible tongues. Verse 8, again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. In a war, the enemy charged the camp, but the bugler has a coughing fit or something, and he can't play clearly to warn the camp, so the enemy overrun the camp. Again, that's the effect of unintelligible tongues. It leads people, I think the implication, it leads people unprepared for trusting and loving and serving Christ. And this principle of people understanding words is so important that Paul uses the third illustration. You always know that he's got something important, or he wants to lay down something very clearly. A third illustration, verse 9, unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you're saying? You'll just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without speaking. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and he is a foreigner to me. I wonder if you've ever had that experience of trying to find on your radio, your local radio, High Peak Radio or Radio Silk, if you're going over the Cat and Fiddle, and all you can get is BBC Radio Wales. And they're speaking a foreign language. So listening to unintelligible tongues is like tuning into a foreign radio station. Pursue gifts that in love build up the church, especially prophecy. Speak words in love that people understand. What is the gift of prophecy? Well, we will see more next week about this because Paul's not finished at verse 25. I've put down what I think it is, and here it is. A variety of Holy Spirit-prompted speaking by believers through which God instructs, strengthens, encourages, comforts, and convicts believers and challenges non-believers. It possesses neither the nature or authority of Scripture, but it often applies Scripture with wisdom and insight. Now, I'm conscious there's lots of things I won't be able to say and which you think I probably ought to say. But I don't want to say this. Some say that the gift of prophecy is simply preaching the word of God today. I don't think that's true. But I do think that preaching and teaching God's word today should have a prophetic content to it. Good preaching should instruct, strengthen, encourage, comfort, convict, believers and non-believers. But there is something different and more informal here. As I said, there is more teaching coming in the verses towards the end of the chapter. And next week we'll see that people in church are to weigh prophecy. In Acts 21, worth reading Acts 21 this week if you want to think further about this, we have an example of a prophetic word given by Agabus. Fascinatingly, some details of his prophetic word are right, other details are wrong. The Apostle Paul feels quite free to ignore it. It does not have the same authority as Scripture. So this gift of New Testament prophecy should never be introduced with the words, "The Lord is saying," or "Thus says the Lord." I think that's very unhelpful. as if what then is said has the same status as Scripture. In verse 3, actually, we see only the effects of this gift that Christians are to seek. Look at it, but everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. And later on, we see that both believer and unbeliever can be convicted and convinced of something through what others say. Now, this prophecy might happen in the meeting. It might happen as the meeting goes on after the last thing that we've sung. Because our meeting doesn't stop at that point, does it? Indeed, I would say that one of the most important parts of our meeting is when we talk with one another. It might happen at small groups. It might happen at the church council meeting. That somebody speaks wisely, and then maybe another person speaks. Might be things that aren't quite tie up, and out of that comes a clarity of action, a way forward. God uses words to instruct or strengthen or encourage or comfort or convict or guide. Now let me give an example. Think about the Living Advent calendar events that we did. I said on Monday at the council, I thought it was one of the best things that's been done in 18 and a half years that I've been here at Trinity. Some people in the church were concerned to encourage us in hospitality and caring for each other, for us getting to know each other better. Someone shared the idea, their conviction. Maybe they didn't even know that they were being prompted by God. They said they thought it would be a really good thing to build up the church. They'd seen it done in other places. They'd heard about it done in other places. They spoke to me. I shared it with other leaders. And we thought it was a great idea for strengthening and encouraging the church. And the individuals got on and organized it. And was the whole church built up by it? Yeah. Now, we don't need to get wound up about, you know, naming it, but I'm just saying, I think it is something like that that is prophetic. Think of your growth group, especially as you apply God's word to your lives. You know, I could say to you, we've all got to honor our parents. That's a command of God in Scripture. That needs wisdom to know how to work that out in different situations. Perhaps someone says in your group, have you thought about how this word, authoritative word, applies to you in this situation? Maybe slightly uncertain. Maybe say, well, I'm not quite sure about that, but I can see the way that does. And suddenly you see and understand something from the Scriptures that applies to you, and you're strengthened and comforted or encouraged or whatever. See, God's word is authoritative. I think this prophetic gift is something that helps us to apply to our lives. Think about the informal gathering once the service is over. I take it that we all want to encourage and comfort and strengthen each other. I take it that we do. We don't just want our selfish agendas. Though granted that some of us may be in need of particular help ourselves, there may be a burden that we're carrying and so on. But as we mutually look after one another, and as we seek to encourage and comfort, strengthen, challenge, rebuke, remember that part of this is conviction. Sometimes the Holy Spirit takes our words and brings them home with particular force. I can give loads of examples in my own life of when that's happened. And you have done it. Sometimes without you even realizing it. It's happening all the time. I think we've never lost the gift of prophecy. And let me say that if you do have something that you think the whole church needs to hear, please do speak to me or Phil or Matt, and we will weigh it up. Now, there's much more that could be said, but let's not miss the big points. There's more to come next week on this, that building up others in love is the priority. Speak words in love that people understand. That principle of speaking words that people understand is important if there is prayer in tongues. Verse 13, for this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. So the only way that the apostle will allow tongues in the church meeting is if there's an interpretation. Unintelligible words are of no use to the church. It's gobbledygook. But he's not forbidding tongues. And indeed, there are lots of positive things said here about tongues. You could work your way through them. Lots of positive things about the gift of tongues. But it does seem to me that the apostle is saying it is essentially for private, personal use. And tongues spoken in the church meeting, it seems to me, is downplayed. Verse 19, if you just look at this. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. And interestingly, that word 10,000 is the largest number available to Paul as a single word in Greek. So there's no Greek word for trillion. There's no Google word or whatever. Paul is downplaying tongues in the church meeting and encouraging those gifts of speech that people understand to build up others. And how important this is in verse 20, which is really a pretty crushing rebuke to them. Here is a rebuke to a church that thought it was mature and spiritual, but actually he says, brothers, stop thinking like children in regard to evil, be infants. In other words, have nothing to do with it, but in your thinking, be adults. What a crushing rebuke that was to, would have been, to the Corinthians. Then thirdly, always think in love of the outsider, verse 21 onwards. And here these principles are applied to the outsider. Verses 21 and 22 are not easy, but let's just have a look at them. In the law it is written, through men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. Even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues then are a sign not for believers but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers. Now, let me say again, that is a devastating quote to a church that is keen on tongues. The Corinthians think that tongues are the sign that marks you out as spiritual. Back in Isaiah 28, God says that he's going to send to his Old Testament people a group of people that speak in strange tongues. Now, in Isaiah, that is not a good thing, because the group that God sends speaking in strange tongues is the Assyrian army. We did Isaiah 28 a few years ago. Now, God is doing that because God's people back then won't listen to his word through Isaiah. They won't repent and obey. They are like unbelievers, actually. The Assyrians and their strange tongues are actually a way that God confirms his judgment on his Old Testament people. A sign of judgment. Paul uses that Isaiah verse to say that tongues bring judgment on unbelievers. Verse 22, tongues then are a sign not for believers but for unbelievers. So I think Paul's argument is that when the not yet believer comes into the Corinthian church meeting and hears speaking in tongues, it confirms the unbeliever in his unbelief. It's a negative sign because nothing is intelligible. More than that, actually, in verse 23, the unbeliever will conclude that Christians are out of their mind, that they're mad. So if the whole church comes together and everyone who speaks in tongues and some who do not understand it, Well, some unbelievers come in, will they not say that you're out of your mind? Now, instead, Paul says there should be prophesying. Prophesying is for believers. So as we encourage and comfort, instruct, maybe as we talk about, maybe somebody stands up and says, isn't it wonderful? God's love for me, a sinner like me, I fall into sin this week, but God, by his grace, by his son's death on the cross, has forgiven my sins. That strengthens us all, believers, but it would also have an effect on the unbeliever because they hear the gospel or something of the gospel or something of God's love and so on. So can I say, if you are new here or recently new to Trinity, welcome to you. We want all the teaching of God's word to be clear and understandable. I hope it has been. We want to sing praise to God for giving us his son to save us from our sins. We want to sing to each other, reminding us of that as we've done. Come people of the risen king, rejoice. And we want to be singing, don't we, and praying what is clear and understandable. And what we want to say to each other afterwards, we want to be clear and understandable. Now, that's important for believers, but also for not yet believers and seekers. Verse 24, but if an unbeliever or someone comes in, well, everybody is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all, and the secrets of the heart will be laid bare, so he'll fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. Now, interestingly, at Trinity, that has happened. Let me say, not just the preaching, but you're speaking in love. So here are some vital principles for the church meeting. We may not get to the perfect church meeting, but there are principles to follow. Building up others in love is the priority. Speaking words in love that people understand. Always thinking of the outsider. Let's pray that that happens more and more here at Trinity. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, so much to reflect on and think about. We want to praise you and thank you that you're our Heavenly Father, that in Christ our sins are forgiven. We deserve judgment, but through Christ's death we're reconciled back to you. Our sins are completely forgiven. We're declared right with you. We're included in your family. And you give us your Holy Spirit. Please help us to reflect further that we're one body with many parts, many different gifts and works of service given by the Sovereign Spirit. Please help us to see how we could to do everything to build up the body. Help us to make that our priority, to build others up, especially with words that people can understand. Please help that to happen now as we talk with one another and have refreshments. Please help us to listen to each other, to love each other, to encourage and instruct, to comfort. Please help us to be mindful of the outsider as well. Please work these things in us, we pray, by your Holy Spirit, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.